translation. The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. Please repeat. The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. And the purport. It is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the benevolent activities of the Sankirtan movement, which was inaugurated 500 years ago in Navadvip, be spread all over the world for the benefit of all human beings. Unfortunately, there are so many so-called followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are satisfied simply to construct a temple, make a show of the deities, collect some funds and utilize them for eating and sleeping. There's no question of their preaching the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. But even though they are unable to do it, if someone else does it, they become envious. This is the condition of the modern followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The age of Kali is so strong that it affects even so-called followers of Lord Chaitanya. At least the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must come out of India to preach his cult all over the world. For this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. The followers of Lord Chaitanya must execute his will with heart and soul, being more tolerant than a tree and humbler than the blade, humbler than the straw in the street. The descendants of the tree, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were glad to receive this order directly from the Lord. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine. So which continues in some wonderful verses. And what is it that the descendants of the tree, that means the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were very glad to receive the order directly from Lord Chaitanya. And we've been reading about that over the past month, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been instructing, and specifically he had instructed previously Bharata Bhumi Dhoila, just a few verses back. Bharata Bhumita Hoila Manushya Janmajar Janma Sartaka Karikar Para Upakar, that the greatest welfare work is the distribution of Krishna consciousness. And as Prabhupada would often say, that you know, people are so much wanting to do something for others, but they are so busy in just saving the body that no one is saving the spirit or the soul. And often we do that drama called the drowning man. If you remember the drowning man drama, that there's a man who's drowning and everybody jumps in to save him and they come back with his jacket. And they said, "We've saved him." And the drama is all about the fact that we're saving the body, which is an essential aspect of life. That welfare work was something that Bhaktisiddhanta very much he wanted us to do, to help others. Prabhupada encouraged through his Food for Life. But it wasn't the ultimate welfare work. And Mahaprabhu, he says, upakar, the highest welfare work is the giving of Krishna consciousness. So wonderful, that's what Mahaprabhu's instructions were in the last few verses. And he goes on to say that he cannot distribute this Krishna consciousness alone. He requires everyone to participate because there's so much to give. And then he goes on from there to yesterday to speak about that no one should be disappointed. We should be giving it to everyone. And today, in the first line of our purport, it is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that the benevolent activities of the Sankirtan movement, which was inaugurated 500 years ago in Navadvip, be spread all over the world for the benefit of all human beings. So in essence, this is what we're being asked to do. And I think even the verse we may have had, Prane Artha Diyavacha, must have been there. I haven't looked. Was that there? Just before this? Just before this. Prane Artha Diyavacha. This is another verse where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing that Prane, you give your life for this order. And if you're not giving your life, then contribute, arthi, whatever you're earning, use that in the service of spreading this mission. And if you don't have any wealth to give, Prabhupada says in that purport, then diya. He says, use your intelligence in how to spread this Krishna consciousness. Sishirada Gokulanandaki. So prane, artha, diya, our intelligence, and finally vacha. If you can't do anything, Prabhupada says in that purport or in many other purport, just go and visit, he says, door to door and teach people how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So this is very good because the month of December is... The month of Kartik is very, very special, as we've said. But Krishna doesn't mention Kartik in actually in the Gita in that way. What does he say? Of months I am Magasesha, which is November, December. And why does he say that? Is because he spoke the Gita in November, December. So this is his month, as he says. So, and we have, since much earlier days, we've termed it the Prabhupada Marathon, to distribute Krishna consciousness to everyone that we can meet. And that's coming up, not far away. And everybody will be going out to distribute Krishna consciousness. Vishnu Prabhu, overseeing and inspiring the country, will be trying to get all of us out for the month of December, to give out Krishna consciousness. So these purports are all about that. Prane, artha, diya, vacha. What Mahaprabhu would like is our life, ultimately, and our hearts. And equally, by how do we give our hearts is another way to look at it. By using our wealth in the service of Krishna, using our intelligence in studying these books so that we know how to preach, and vacha, and speaking some words. And Prabhupada, in one conversation, he says, in that verse, which really follows on from today's purport a bit more, where he says that at least if you are not going to preach Krishna consciousness, don't criticize those that are preaching Krishna consciousness. in context, vacha. So don't use your words to criticize those that are already preaching about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's a very important thing. And in today's purport, Prabhupada is speaking about the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that didn't preach Krishna consciousness. They were happy in the math. But not only were they content in the math, but those that were preaching Krishna consciousness, they wanted to criticize them. So it's quite a strong purport here. And when Prabhupada, he went back to India many times, the Gaudiya Mission would criticize Prabhupada, that you have spoken like this of us. Of course, he just didn't write it here. He spoke of it as well. And so many people would get upset. And here's a letter from 1973 to Niranjan. Equally he's speaking. And from that, then I'll take it to another context as well. His criticism of his godbrothers and the Gaudiya Math, and when he left this world, what he did as well, equally, in asking for forgiveness. So it's not something that we would be doing. An acharya can do these things. We cannot do these things. As Prabhupada often said, he said, old men and children, they can say anything. He said, but you can't. Because no one will take offense. No one will take offense. But Prabhupada says here, in that letter, you mention that they have not even heard of Lord Gauranga. This is in India. So this is their misfortune and our misfortune also. Our big, big godbrothers in India, they could not preach Lord Gauranga's name all over India. They are simply inclined to criticize me, that my students call me Prabhupada. They could not do anything practical and tangible. They are satisfied with a few, with the temple and a few disciples begging alms for the maintenance of the temple. This is exactly what the purport has as well. And Prabhupada is saying the same thing. In another letter to Vishwakarma in 75, Prabhupada says, I am in due receipt of your late letter, dated the 3rd, with the enclosed statement about Bon Maharaj. This is in context as well. Prabhupada had sent about a dozen devotees to be taught by Bon Maharaj. He had an institute in Vrindavan. And in due course, I think it's Hrishikesh became very enamored by Bon Maharaj, and Bon Maharaj reinitiated him. So Prabhupada said, this was a great offense. I taught him, I sent him there to learn, but instead he has reinitiated him and made him part of the math. So that's the context. So I have now issued orders that all my disciples should avoid all my godbrothers. They should not have any dealings with them, nor even correspondence. Nor should they give them any of my books, or should they purchase any of their books. Neither should you visit any of their temples. Please avoid them. This is in 75. Prabhupada was writing. Obviously, I think he, and many times, I think then Hrishikesh, he instructed him that if you are looking for a Siksha Guru, then instead go to Sridhar Swami, who is also my Siksha Guru, if that is what you're looking for. But don't go to any others, because he said he was very, Sridhar Swami was very dear to Bhakti Siddhanta. So this is some context to today's verse, and especially the purport. Tamakrishna Maharaj, in his writings, he speaks about this quite often. And he very much remembers 76, 77, when Prabhupada had all of these exchanges with his god brothers, especially when Vrindavan was being built. But equally, Tamakrishna Maharaj said that he had requested all his god brothers to come towards the end of his life, and he had asked for forgiveness. And this is the exact, so not to get it wrong, here it is from Tamakrishna Maharaj's memories. In the late afternoon, a contingent of Gaudiya Vaishnavas led by Puri Maharaj came to pay their respects. Ashram Maharaj, Ananda Prabhu, and many devotees from Vishakhapatnam and Rajamundrai. They talked and sang for Prabhupada and even massaged his body. Prabhupada begged forgiveness from them for any offense he may have committed and called himself Mahapatit, which means most fallen. They immediately corrected him by saying Prabhupada was Mahapatita Pavana. He was the savior of the most fallen. Ashram Maharaj now speaks. You are the eternal ruler. You will rule over us, chastise us, and guide us. Prabhupada says, forgive all my offenses. I became proud with my opulence. Prabhupada's godbrothers, they replied, no, you never became proud. When you started preaching, opulence and success followed you. This is the blessing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Krishna. There can't be any question of offense. Prabhupada replies, in the Shastra it is said, dukkha, suffering is a kind of austerity. It has been welcomed so that no one can perform this austerity and become purified. Now you all forgive me. So this was in context to today's verse as well, equally, in case we wanted to go out and criticize everyone. Prabhupada said, I can do it, you can't do it. But equally, he's at the end of his life, he's asking for forgiveness. And then two telegrams arrived. Tamakrishna Maharaj speaking. One was from Madhav Maharaj in Chandigarh praying to Bhakti Siddhanta and Gaura Krishna for Prabhupada. Prabhupada immediately had a telegram sent reading, thank you. Excuse my offenses, all God brothers. And Tamakrishna Maharaj writes, Prabhupada was so humble and he is always asking forgiveness to anyone he meets at the end of his life. And in the same book, this is Narayan Maharaj saying, these are all trivial things in the worldwide preaching. If some little thing goes wrong here and there, what difference does it make? It is all right. Whatever you have done for the well-being of the entire human society. There was no individual interest. Everything was done in the interest of God. Prabhupada says in reply to this, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted that we should preach in Europe, America, that was my desire. And my other desire was that we all work together jointly to preach. Narayan Maharaj says, yes, that is right. Prabhupada, I didn't waste a single moment. I tried my best. And it has been successful to some extent. And Prabhupada begins crying. If we work jointly, then as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, Prithiviti Achyata Nagaradigram has become great possibility. My life is coming to an end. It is my desire that you all will forgive me for my mistake. My God brothers, when you are preaching, at times there are some disputes, some misunderstanding. Maybe I also committed some offense like that. Please ask them to forgive me. So, many letters like this. Go on. And Prabhupada, really, if you read the Leelamrita, he'd written to his God brother so many times to come and participate in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but no one was willing. No one was willing to do anything. He would write to them to acquire madangas and cartels, and he wouldn't receive any replies. No replies were received in any context. And he had written this letter to Dr. Shyamasundar Das Brahmachari. And he's saying to him, taking the concluding portion of his letter, giving me to cooperate with the Gaudiya Mission in the matter of my activities in spreading objectives of Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, I am prepared to cooperate with the Gaudiya Mission in all respects. But I do not know under what condition you wish to cooperate with me. But I am prepared to accept any condition for getting your cooperation in full. So far as my starting a separate organization known as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it was inevitable because none of our God brothers are cooperating with one another. Every one of us is conducting his own institution, and there is a difference of opinion even between the Gaudiya Mission and the Gaudiya Math. There were two things. The Gaudiya Maths were the different maths, and Bhaktisiddhanta had started the Gaudiya Mission, which was to go out of India. And there were differences of opinion even there. So if it is now possible to combine ourselves together, I shall be the first man to welcome this good opportunity. But apart from others, if Gaudiya Mission is prepared to cooperate with me, I am prepared to accept this cooperation in any condition. Therefore, please let me know your terms of cooperation, and I shall consider. There was no reply. No reply to that letter that was given. So Prabhupada had tried tremendously for cooperation, and it never happened in any respect. So, when Prabhupada speaks about the fact that when the acharya leaves, there is turmoil. There is turmoil. And there was great turmoil when Bhaktisiddhanta had left. Different sides, different perspectives. And Prabhupada just didn't intervene with either side. He decided to start his own institution. And even at that stage, when he was very successful, he had invited them all to come and preach, to take part, to participate. And even when he got to India, he said, let us cooperate in India to do something. Still, it wasn't possible. It wasn't possible to do it. So that's some context to today's purport. And looking at those important letters that were there. And this point of criticism, which may be there, Prabhupada, he speaks about five types of people. And specifically, the Mahabharata has these five types of individuals. Just on Friday, I was mentioning this in a talk. And Prabhupada says there is the fifth class person. And he says the fifth class person is the person who only sees bad. And the example is there of Duryodhan, that he only saw bad. Isn't it? That story is there when Drona, he requests Yudhisthira and Duryodhan to go out. So Duryodhan was asked to go and look for the Uttama Purush, the best person there is. And when he came back, and Drona said, where is this Uttama Purush? He said, I looked everywhere, but I couldn't find anyone that was any good. So I realized that there is a good person, and that's me. So here I am. Here I am. Uttama Purush. So Drona said, okay, you sit down now. We'll have to test out Yudhishthira. So that's the fifth class person. They only see bad. So Prabhupada was relating like that in the purport here. That although he was doing good things, they were not looking at that aspect. The fourth class person is very much related to today's purport perhaps. The fourth class person, he sees good and he sees bad, but they focus on the bad. They focus on the bad. You know, you may do 1,000 good things. Interesting class today. Lots of things going on. Things moving, sounds. You know, you may do 1,000 good things. And you may have made one mistake. And the fourth class person, they focus just on that one bad thing. They don't look at the thousands of good things that you have done. So Prabhupada was speaking like that, that he'd done thousands of good things. He'd taken the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere, but still, they were just looking at this one mistake. And I was thinking that Krishna had done so much in the Mahabharata, but Sishupal was always looking for that one mistake. One mistake he was looking. So that's the fourth class person. The third class person, they see good and they see bad equally. Equally they see the good and the bad. And I suppose maybe in the Mahabharata it was Bhishma who was on the throne of Hastinapur. He was looking at good and he was looking at bad equally. Equally he was trying to see it. The second class person is the person who sees good and bad, but they focus on the good. They focus on the good side. So, you know, we had the fourth class, which only look at the bad. So this is the opposite now. You may have done hundreds of bad things, but you've done one good thing, and they look at that one good thing. They look at that one good thing. And Arjuna was like that. Vidura was like that. Vidura was like that very much, that they would see that one good thing that we had. And then the first class person, Drona, when he tested Duryodhan, then he asked Yudhishthira to come. And he said to Yudhishthira, he said, I want you to travel the kingdom and look for the Narga Purusha. With Duryodhan it was Uttama, so with him it was Narga Purusha, which means the worst person in the kingdom. And Yudhishthira again came empty-handed. And he said to Drona, he said, I've looked everywhere, but I see that actually everyone is good. If there is such a thing as a bad person, it's me. So these are five categories of individuals. And the news is that we all fit into it. We all fit into those categories. And we may go from one category to another at different times even. So Prabhupada, in commenting on this, he said, don't be fifth class, which means that you only see bad in others. And he said, and it's not possible for you to become first class. In case you were thinking, I could become first class. Prabhupada said, it's not possible for you to become first class. But Prabhupada said, at least become second class. And second class means that we see the good and the bad, what we choose to look at the good. And Prabhupada's point about this principle of spreading Krishna consciousness is looking for that good in our marathon. in the Prabhupada Marathon, to see that the soul, the spirit, is eternally connected to Krishna. And that is the good that everyone has. And some good is there. Let me reawaken that good. Let me reconnect this Atma with the Paramatma. Let me do that. And that's the principle of being second class. And it's a good meditation for the upcoming Prabhupada Marathon for all of us. Radhanath Swami, when he was speaking here, he sort of spoke on this same principle, and he said something interesting. And he said that all of us, we have a good dog and a bad dog in us. Duryodhana and Yudhisthira. But he says, since time immemorial, we have been feeding the bad dog, and his barks have become very loud, and we have starved the good dog, and his little shouts are no longer heard within us. So we have to now starve the bad dog and feed the good dog. Interesting principle that he brought about within all of us. And that's a good thing. By feeding the good dog, we'll want to give Krishna consciousness to others. We'll be less inimical, less critical. And Krishna consciousness and the process of it is really a transformation of our consciousness or mentality, taking us from the fifth class Duryodhan and trying to get us into the Yudhisthira. And that's what the process of Krishna consciousness is about, changing our consciousness, our mentality. The purport was all, and these verses were all about, as we said, Prane Artha Diyavacha. How we can be more surrendered to Krishna. Jadwaita Swami had written a nice article, and I mentioned that on Prabhupada's Disappearance Day. And it was called The Gifts of His Divine Grace. So Prabhupada was the only person who left India from the Gaudiya Mission. Bon Maharaj had left. He came to England for 3 years, and when he came back, there wasn't that much to show, as Jai Krishna very much depicted in the drama. I think you'd spend a long time, 1 year, writing the script. And that was a good history of the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, that drama, to show that actually someone did go, and Bhaktisiddhanta at that time was funding him quite tremendously. And after 3 years, practically they'd used up a lot of their funds, the Gaudiya Mission. So Bhaktisiddhanta at that time said, we can't spend any more. What is the result? So they came back, and they came back with some German devotees, I think. German devotees. Also someone, Victoria from Willesden Green, who became initiated as Vinod Vani. Bhaktisiddhanta Nishan. So this is what they came back with that. So Prabhupada was the only person after that to leave and do anything. And based on that, on his disappearance day, the BTG had a great edition, and it was, and the title of this article was, in just a dozen years, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada gave the world a legacy that will last forever. Imagine someone gives something for 12 years and it will last forever. And you know, to understand the life of a pure devotee, because you know, there were differences of opinion with the Gaudiya Mission. He had criticized them. He had told others a variety of things. So, the famous verse where Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vijnana, that it's not fully, no one can fully understand the words, activities, and characteristics of a pure devotee. It's not possible. Not possible to do that. And you know, Prabhupada's contribution, it could be understood by the spiritualist. Just as an intellectual contribution is appreciated by intellectuals, a spiritual contribution is best understood and appreciated by those that are advanced in spiritual culture and knowledge. So, as the years go on, we'll have more of these individuals and we'll be able to understand these aspects of it. And on that, there is an interesting concept that gross material accomplishments, if in the world, many people have done amazing things. They win immediate popularity, applause, but they're quickly forgotten. Whoever accomplishes many materialistic things, you invent this, everyone's forgotten. But it's quick. Immediately people recognize you, but you're forgotten very quickly as well. Intellectual contributions, they're a little different. They take longer, and they're a bit more widely acclaimed. And the benefits of them is more profound and long-lasting. So we've gone from material accomplishments, intellectual accomplishments, and finally spiritual accomplishments or contribution. And it's the least appreciated immediately. When Prabhupada left in 77, it was the least appreciated. It wasn't like all the others. Materialist or intellectuals, but still it's the most profound, significant, and enduring spiritual contributions. It's interesting because Prabhupada's contribution, as time goes on, more and more and more intellectuals will realized that it was the re-spiritualization of society. When Prabhupada did all this, the government of India, they called him India's greatest ambassador to the world. Because no one had taken India anywhere until then. But people took it very seriously. Chidvaita Swami speaks of 13 items, and I thought I'd quickly round those off for all of you. And he says 13 things that were the spiritual contributions that Prabhupada made, as today's verse is all about. The first one is the Hare Krishna mantra. The Hare Krishna mantra. When they were asking us, when we finally received the planning permission here in 1996 to keep Manor open. And you know, they have the brown signs for places of importance. So now it was a place of importance, and that's where those brown signs were put up. Tourist attractions, place of interest. So they were going to put Bhaktivedanta Manor. But we decided, no, we want to call it the Hare Krishna Temple. So people will chant the mantra. And Prabhupada's first contribution is the Hare Krishna mantra. And he began his movement with the Maha Mantra, Tompkins Square Park, where it all began, if you like. He was just chanting Hare Krishna. And interestingly, the last words Prabhupada said when he left this world was Hare Krishna. He began with Hare Krishna, and he ended with Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted Prithiviti Achyata Nagaradigram, that my name or the chanting of Krishna's holy name, they will be heard in every town and village of the world. So when Prabhupada does criticize who did it, he was prophesied to do it. He says anyone could have done it, but no one did it, but I did it. The prediction was there, but they didn't want to be the instruments. So in a conversation he says, anyone could have done it, but no one did it. But I did it in every town and village. And he established a worldwide movement to fulfill the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second thing he contributed was a Vedic library of transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada was the author of 70 volumes of books. And how many languages are they in now? 60? Anyone? 60? 60 languages. So, 70 books in 60 languages. That's what Prabhupada's contribution was. And the Bhagavatam, as we know very much, the most popular of them. Distribution of Vedic knowledge. How many books? It was interesting that he wasn't satisfied simply by the writing of books, but he wanted to have the books distributed. So he established the BBT, the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, in 1972. And in 6 years, within 6 years, the BBT became the largest publishers and distributors of books concerning philosophy, religion, and culture of India. And how many books to date have been distributed? Anyone? Half a billion. When Prabhupada left in 77, 60 million books had been distributed. 500 million books. So definitely the largest publishers and distributors of books on Indian culture and philosophy than anyone would have done. And apart from that, Prabhupada started his own magazine in 1944, imagine. The books were published in the 60s, but in 44, Prabhupada began a magazine called Back to God, which is still running. Still, what a great contribution. The fourth contribution he speaks about is a society of devotees. In 1966, when Prabhupada was in the storefront outside 2nd Avenue, in handwriting he had written on there that this was the headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It was in handwritten, stuck with some sellotape. This was the headquarters. So a society of devotees that he wanted to start in New York, in a loft. But he very much wanted that there'd be a society of devotees. So he started that and he registered that. And Prabhupada often used to say, he said that if we are going back home, back to Godhead, we are not going alone. And hence he said, if you stay in the association of devotees, you will go back home, back to Godhead. Because if we're going, we're all going together. Or we're not going at all. Or we're not going at all. So that was the fourth item. And the fifth item that he... So of course he did. He opened 108 temples. Well, at least over 100 were open when he left. The fifth item was purity is the force. He didn't compromise. When he came to America, he could have had a big following. If he said what others were doing, as he said, when he was staying with Dr. Mishra, there were no regulative principles. And Dr. Mishra said to him, why don't you get rid of the rules? Everyone will come. And Prabhupada didn't compromise. He said, no, the four regulative principles are there. And he said, we would rather have diamonds rather than glass. He said, that is better for us. Because he was very worried when he first arrived. He saw that how will anyone first come? And when they come and he tells them that, you know, no gambling, no intoxication, how will they They're living on these things. No meat, fish, eggs, no illicit sex. He said, how will they come? But he stuck to his guns, as he said, and still everyone came. Temples around the world. When he left, as we'd said, he had just over 100. How many do we have now? 600, I think. Someone said 690 to me once. Whichever it is, 600 on. So that's the greatness of Prabhupada, that when, even when he left, generally, like when Bhaktisiddhanta left, everything collapsed. But with Prabhupada leaving still, it increased to show that how glorious he was. How glorious he was. The seventh contribution was service to the deity. In each one of his temples, he established the deity. And there were extensive struggles even in doing that in Mumbai and in London, two places. It's a great history which is there. The eighth item is spiritual food or prasadam. Prabhupada often said that Krishna consciousness is not for dry renouncers. And he had often said his desire was, let the whole world taste Krishna prasadam. So very much he did that, and he established that prasadam. And from that, the devotees went on to restaurants or mobile kitchens. And Prabhupada also established ISKCON Food Relief to distribute prasadam to the needy in masses. And now it's moved on. And from ISKCON Food Relief, we have midday meals. Midday meals is very massive as well. I was looking at the figures of midday meals, which are quite astonishing, because I was wondering what did they do just in Bombay. And that's ISKCON, midday meals. It's not the Akshay Patra one, in case we're not mixing the two together. It's the ISKCON one. And ISKCON every day in Bombay, they have 100,000 meals every day for children as an incentive to go to school. And throughout India, because midday meals is throughout India, it's 1,200,000 meals every day. Quite something. Quite something. But you know, even in his final days, Prabhupada's last, when he came here in 77, he asked Jayatirtha, he said, are the devotees eating very nicely? Is the prasadam good? So he was concerned about prasadam even then. Ninth item was festivals of transcendence, Ratiyatra, which he himself had when he was a young child, and he wanted very much to spread all over the world. He was the only person who spread it. And often there would be arguments and about Jagannath, and Prabhupada would often say that he is Jagannath, he is Lord of the universe, he is not Orissanath. He's not Lord of just Orissa, but he's Jagannath. Because they would argue that why are you having Ratiyatra on different times? Because there's a tithi for having Ratiyatra. So obviously you can't have a tithi because you're based... when the London Council gives you permission, that's when you can have Ratiyatra. It's equally the same all over the world. And equally, the festivals that he established, they continue tremendously. So many devotees who travel the world to continue these festivals. 10th, science, art for the purified senses, of course. Prabhupada wanted the re-spiritualization of human society. So there was literature, there was music, there was dance, there was painting, there was sculpture, there was film. Everything that can purify our senses and awaken our and express our eternal love for Krishna. And he even started the Bhaktivedanta Institute for PhDs. So that was number 10. And the last three. 11, ideal life in harmony with nature. He opened at that time. Simple living, high thinking. He had established at that time 12 farm communities all over the world for beginning this principle. And the 12th item was establishing places of pilgrimage in India. He established Mayapur, which is still growing, and when the planet, temple of Vedic planetarium, is finally built, it will be the largest temple in India. Largest temple in India. So Mayapur, Vrindavan, of course, and Puri still to be established. I believe we have finally the land now. Beautiful piece of land which was bought by the UK Yatra that time. And now they are the Indian leaders are building a very beautiful temple of Jagannath, of course, that Prabhupada wanted. So these are the three places he wanted established. So that's the next one that will happen. And of course, there are India is probably booming more than any other place in the world. There are more temples, I think, in India than the rest of the world sometimes. It's booming, Krishna consciousness there, on all levels. And finally, he had established schools, which now, obviously, some are, many have closed, but they still Vrindavan, Mayapur, the manor has a school, many have become boarding schools. But these were some of the amazing contributions, 13 contributions that Jayadvaita Swami speaks of, that Prabhupada very much established within the time that he had. And you know, often, if we look at life, not all problems have a quick fix solution. You know, we become very intolerant, isn't it? When you're in India, the electricity goes off. Actually, even at the manor, the electricity goes off, isn't it? Often we think, when's it going to come on? Or at least in India, the AC is off. Or even a standard one is when your phone is out of signal, isn't it? And you're trying to figure out, when's it going to come on? In this world, we've forgotten one word, and that's patience. You know, we're so used to fast food, fast track, fast cars, fast gadgets, and what follows is fast solutions. That everybody wants a fast solution to everything. But even if we look at the life of Krishna, his biggest problem was Kamsa. But he left Vrindavan and he came back 11 years later to deal with his biggest problem. And maybe reminding us that all problems don't have a quick solution. Sometimes you have to wait and tolerate. I think they call it delayed management. It's a term called delayed management, which is that if you delay in the solution that you want, the right solution will come up. Because there's no immediate solution. It's called delayed management. So rather than attempting to find a quick fix solution, just delaying trying to find a solution. And you know what tends to happen? As time goes on, the situation changes. Your needs change. Moods change. But most of all, what changes is the maturity level of individuals change. And when the maturity changes, you can have solution to anything. So sometimes, and I often say, time is a good baker. Time is a good baker. You know, if you're baking, I was in the kitchen. Finally, I was in the kitchen and they were baking. They were baking, but you need to be patient when the cake is baking. You can't keep looking at the watch. Why doesn't it speed up? It bakes with time. You can only take it out when it is ready to take out. So time is a good baker. And you know, sometimes not doing anything is a solution in itself. But what it means is you need to become tolerant. And even if the situation is hopeless, Lord Ram, when he finally had an agreement from Sugriv and the Vanaras, that now you can go with the army and rescue Sita. You know what happened? The 4 months of the rainy season began. And Lord Ram was stuck in Malyavan Hill. So sometimes the problem seems hopeless, and the only solution is patience, tolerance. Even Lord Ram was sitting there. He said, what can you do? Hopeless. So an intelligent, our time is run, finishing off. So an intelligent problem solver is not the one who solves every problem, but he knows which problem to solve and which problem to tolerate. And coming back to our purport, why am I talking all about this? Prabhupada, he tolerated what was going on in the Gaudiya Mission because there was no solution. Everyone had gone their own ways. He tolerated. But he knew that there is a solution in due course, and he knew that that meant that Krishna consciousness has to stand on its own feet, and that's what he did.